front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you.
Today, I'm going behind the screens with Jesus Manuel Olivas, the head of products for Weno. How's your DrupalCon Nashville going, Jesus?
It's going pretty well. I mean, I'm really happy to be here as usual, and thank you for the invitation.
Oh, well, thank you for taking some time. So tell me a little bit about yourself, do a little introduction, and what you do as the head of products at Weno.
Well, I mean, I'm working with Drupal for a long time. I mean, and also with doing a lot of Symfony development where, let me go to the company part of this. Weno, we are a fully distributed company. We are now like 30-something people. We are in 12 countries now.
Wow.
We do mostly Drupal development, but we lately, since probably last couple of years, we'll be doing a lot of work related to Symfony and React, some Java. I mean, a lot of JavaScript development is happening lately. Mm-hmm.
So with Weno, you said you're in 12 different countries, about 30-some different people. What are the tricks in trying to coordinate all of those people? And then tell me a little how that works as the head of products, how you coordinate with all of them for the product work.
Yeah, I coordinate with most of our developers or teams. We're trying to build, our staff, and also we're working with clients. And, probably the most challenging part is time zone, because one of our CTO, Enzo, lives in Australia, so it's kind of far.
Wow, yeah.
And he lives really, really far. So he actually lives from really south, going south of the south. So he lives in Tasmania and Hobart.
Wow. I met that time zone coordination is a bit of a trick.
Yeah, it is. I mean, sometimes we have to, wake up, so early, and sometimes, stay a little late. But now it's getting better. He's almost 2 years now living there. So we are just getting into, rhythm. About our time zone differences.
So are most of you in the Central American area?
Yeah, it is. We are. Most of us are between U.S. and Argentina.
Okay.
And we also have a few people in France.
Oh, wow. Wow, so you are all over.
Yeah. It's coming along, so yeah. And we are in our way to the world domination.
And so as the head of products at Weno, what does your job entail?
What I've been doing here is, first, I'm also helping direct which technologies are going to use for our products. We tend to build a lot of internal tools, as one of the reasons is to improve and make easier our internal tasks, and also to have a chance to learn how to use new technologies. So we try to get involved, most of our developers or team members in those internal tools so they can... You can try in a real project all these new technologies we find out interesting. In this case, it's easy for us to expose them to work with something like React or GraphQL or Symfony applications. In our own products, and then we gain experience that we can take advantage later on when one of our clients want to start using all those technologies. I'm talking about those technologies because, again, most of our work is Drupal, but we are trying to approach other, surrounding technologies about web development.
Yeah. Is there a particular technology that is really popular now that your team's spending a lot of time learning, working on?
Yeah, everything is mostly JavaScript nowadays, which is great. I wasn't a big fan at the beginning, but now it's when I'm saying at the beginning, I was front-end frameworks start popping up. Because I remember my days doing real vanilla JavaScript a long time ago, just before jQuery, right? But now everything is getting more stable from my point of view. And we are doing a lot of React and GraphQL. Probably are the two tools we are more excited about it.
Yeah. So does your team work with Consul much as well? I know you've founded the project and you've been working as a developer for Consul for a long time now. Does your team work with any of that, or is that a separate project?
No, this is the same thing we use our internal, projects for making our developers, learn new technologies. We also whenever they have time, we allocate some of their hours to contribute to Drupal Console as well. So we try to keep them active on contribution, and we tend to use Drupal Console as the project they contribute.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And that's cool. And again, so they can take advantage of learning Drupal 8 and Symfony. Mm-hmm. And that's good for us because we do a lot of Symfony development.
I see. So what is the state of Drupal Console these days?
Well, I mean, we have the stable release last year. We just reached 2 million downloads last week.
Wow.
Yeah, it took us like 4 years for the first million, which is, you know, the first million is the hardest one, and then less than a year for the second one.
So that probably reflects that Drupal 8 adoption has grown a lot.
Yeah, it's growing a lot since last year. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, you can see of the usage of the downloads of different projects.
Mm-hmm. So with the stable release of Console 1.0 last year, you're now working on the 2.0 version. Are there any new features we could look forward to in that 2.0 version?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have designed like a real roadmap for it. We are discussing what will be the new features that will pop up and then on the latest version. And our goal for Drupal Console 2.0 has been focusing on automation and deployments. So we really want to be able to be agnostic platform for deployment to different providers, and also, improve the something we have is called chain commands. It allows mm-hmm. you to automate command execution. It's basically a chain command. If you are familiar with Ansible, it's kind of like kind of thing. So you mm-hmm. define this YAML file where you can have multiple commands that you can queue and execute in a specific order.
I see. So with Drush 9 was recently released as a stable release, and they've retooled everything underneath and brought it up to speed with the Symfony components, and so it'll work with Drupal 8. And so now there's a lot of cross features between the two, and there's also an initiative I heard to add the Symfony console as a part of Drupal Core, which means there would be three different command line tools to work with Drupal. So how do you feel about that? What do you see going on in that ecosystem?
Well, I mean, first, it's good to see other projects are adopting the features and the technologies that, I mean, Drupal Console hasn't had in probably in the last 2 or 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, you know, same as Drush as Drupal Core are thinking and adopt, you know, object-oriented full gradient scripts or CLI commands. Mm-hmm. They are adopting Symfony components as well. I mean, the downside that I see in this case is we will probably end up with a third different way of writing commands. And this could be probably a little, I mean, confusing for users. And, I mean, I have no idea how this is going to end. I mean, we spent some time discussing about it here during DrupalCon. There's an issue number that we can share.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an issue here on Drupal.org to discuss the implementation of Symfony Console. Is that what this is about?
Yeah, this is what it's about. So you can see how to integrate Symfony Console in Core. Actually, there is a patch you can try. There's some confusion about because they named the binaries Drupal the same as we have in Drupal Console. So the discussion now is in the direction of should be called Drupal or not, should be a conflict. Mm-hmm. Whenever, because in the end, what is going to happen is Composer will get confused because of the binary name.
Right.
So we are trying to figure out how to approach that.
Okay.
Yeah, the issue number is 2242947.
Okay, so we'd go to Drupal.org for that node. Then people can learn more about how this is coming along and weigh in, and we can hopefully find a good solution that won't be confusing to everybody, but still provides a good service.
Yeah, it also, this, you know, the same issue has links to other issues. I mean, all those issues are being, like, for a long time there, either at Symfony console component to Core or no, so you can figure it out. From there, you can, I mean, navigate to other related issues about it. And you can see, I mean, people commenting from a couple of years back. It seems like at this point it's getting more traction.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like it's probably going to happen at some point.
Interesting. All right. Well, this is really fascinating. I'm definitely going to jump in there and take a look and see what happens with that. But I'd like to turn this away from the code for a little bit. So the go-to question, if you woke up tomorrow and the internet was gone, it had disappeared, what are you going to do?
We'll probably, I mean, take advantage of that and spend time with my kids and my wife. Probably go to park, do some travel. Not that I don't travel a lot, but, you know, I think it will be great having a chance to really, really disconnect from the from the world for a while.
Yeah, actually travel and take the family with you sometimes.
Yeah, take it with me. Not travel for a conference.
Right.
Not like I don't enjoy conferences, but...
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a little vacation.
Yep.
And you've also been in the Drupal community for a long time, so you're very familiar with the module ecosystem.
Yes, okay. I have built a few.
Yep, just a few. So everyone has a spirit animal, you know, an animal that describes their spirit, their personality. But I want to know, what is your spirit module?
I think my spirit module could be like examples modules. I mean, I really love to teach people how to do things. You know, I like to build tools to generate tools, you know, it's kind of my passion, you know, help people to get involved and get speed up what they're doing. And that's, again, one of my roles within the company. Mm-hmm. I mean, making sure all our developers are using the proper tools, are using the, you know, writing the right code, mm-hmm. using the proper, I mean, tools for the proper for the projects.
Yeah, I like that. That's a great answer.
Thank you.
And then finally, is there somebody you'd like to say thank you to or share some gratitude with who lended you a hand or gave you a boost along the way in your career?
Well, I mean, that thank you probably should be for the whole community. I mean, as a whole, you know, the Drupal is great and community is awesome. And going back to probably my when I start doing Drupal, I mean, I remember I was discussing with some friends in San Diego. You know, Sand Camping was my first time speaking in English. That's good memories for me. So community, I'm saying in general is, you know, the thing is the whole community is, I mean, say thanks to the whole community. Mm-hmm. It's been really like welcoming.
Yeah. That's great. And one other question, since you are, I know there's a lot of camps that happen sporadically throughout the Central American region, so I'm going to add this on as a little addition here, because I like to know about what the camps are happening and spread some information about those. Do you know of any Drupal camps that are happening in your region that you would like to say something about or promote?
Yeah, there is a camp happening in Costa Rica. It's in August. I don't have the date exactly, but okay. I can share with you later on. Yeah, it's the camp. It's probably the biggest camp in Latin America. It's a yearly, I mean, event. It's we invite people from different places. There's a lot of people from U.S. showing up for the camp. Actually, a couple of Lulabots show up last year or the year before. Yeah, it's the only one that is on my radar now in Latin America.
Okay, very good. I've been dying to get down to one of those, so I'll put that on my list.
And Costa Rica is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and even when we are a fully remote company, Costa Rica is the place where our office is. No one's go there. The only time that the office is in use is when the camp, because we use the camp as an excuse for do a company retreat.
Oh, excellent. That's a great way to do it. All right. Well, Jesus, thank you very much for taking a few minutes. This was great.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, it's Michael Miles from the Developing Up podcast.
Michael, hey, you're a Boston guy, and we know that New England Drupal Camp is coming up at the end of the year, but there's another big event happening in Boston.
In June, it's the 10th Design for Drupal Conference from June 27th to 29th. What's interesting about Design for Drupal is two things. One, it's the only front-end focused and design-focused Drupal camp, but the other big announcement is the keynote this year is Dries. So that's really exciting. The organizers worked hard to get him to come, and I think it's a great opportunity to come to the Boston area in the summer, go to the Charles, learn some front-end stuff for Drupal.
All right, so Design for Drupal in Boston, and then we'll look forward to the New England Drupal Camp coming up later in the year. All right, keep your eye on DrupalCal, folks.